I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Cult Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico, and a podcast that is in need of a new intro. But nevertheless, my guest on this edition of Cult Gennaro Chat, making his standard weekly appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Cult Gennaro Chat, returning to make his standard weekly appearance. On this episode of Cult Gennaro Chat, we have a lot of topics to cover, a lot of ground to cover, including the official confirmation of longtime captain Gabby's departure for Qatari side Al Sadd. We'll talk about Gabby's exit from all angles, reveal our favorite moments from the captain's two spells in red and white, and we'll also discuss who comes next. Who's the next captain? Who are the next vice captains? After that, we'll analyze Spain's disastrous World Cup round of 16 exit. Some interesting stories coming out of that round of 16 loss to the host nation, Russia. And finally, answer your questions on transfers. Who we'd most like to see in the capital, the Madrid derby, and much more. However, a couple quick notes before we get too deep into the show. Make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program, Cult Gennaro Chat, on your favorite podcasting platform. Your favorite podcasting platform. If said platform is Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a rating and review. Would really help us out here at the show. Gets more eyes and ears on the show and allows us to continue producing quality hashtag content. In addition, make sure to become a Cult Gennaro Chat amigo, if you so fancy, at patreon.com/cultgennarochat. No bonus pod this week, but we will have one next week. So no bonus pod this week, but there will be a fresh bonus pod Monday or Tuesday. patreon.com/cultgennarochat. You can become a Cult Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as a dollar a month. You get access to the bonus pods and a lot more cool stuff. And there's even cooler stuff on the way. patreon.com/cultgennarochat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. So, how about those Braves?
Hey now, we're cooking with gas.
How about the Bravos?
I know, at top of our division, I'm extraordinarily hyped. I love the Braves. The Braves are my favorite sports team, period, to the end, just because that's the first team I ever watched. But, yeah, it's very exciting. So I thought we were going to be okay, but not good. So this is good.
Yeah, it's good to see, especially since, you know, the Nationals have been dominating that division for the longest time.
Yeah, well, yeah, and they used to be the Montreal Expos, and, you know, there's a whole lot of business going on there. But, yeah, our division has been incredibly boring for several years now, so good to see some competition for all 12 baseball fans of the millennial generation that remain.
And all, like, two baseball fans who listen to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. There, I mean, maybe like 0.5 of someone that listens.
Are we including? Are we including ourselves or other listeners?
Well, yeah. If we're including ourselves, maybe two. but yeah, 0.5. Not us. But yeah, no. Baseball is fun. It underrated at this point.
Yes. Yeah. It's not for the. For the easily distracted, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But if you want something to fall asleep to, it's better than golf.
Yeah, golf is not a sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
Golf and NASCAR. You're from the South. You know all about NASCAR. It's not a sport.
I really don't know a damn thing about NASCAR. Even though I am from the South, I've never watched a NASCAR race in my life. I'd rather watch Formula One.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatevs. NASCAR is terrible. I can't even defend that. I won't even try.
It's just a bunch of left turns.
Yeah, oh yeah, a bunch of left turns, a bunch of angry people yelling over radios. It's not that interesting.
But what is interesting, though, are things that are interesting, though, include many of the things going on in Atletico world right now. We have a ton.
Oh, yes.
We have a ton of questions, Rob. Probably more questions than we've ever gotten before.
I know it. We have a bunch of questions. This is going to be a question-y episode, which is good because there hasn't been a bunch of official news.
Yeah, just a lot of rumors. Some are substantiated, some are not. But we will get to just about all these questions. We have a ton of them. And thanks everyone on Twitter who asked us your questions. We always appreciate when y'all get in touch. It's going to be good. But before we get into the questions and question type things, we have to talk about Gabby.
Yeah, oh yes.
And I'm sad. I'm still sad.
I think it's impossible to not be sad.
It was unexpected as well. I thought he was going to stay for this next season and then head on out, but he decided that the time had come for him to move on, and you can't begrudge him.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this is his last chance to get a big payday, and he's certainly given enough to Atletico to the point where you can't really begrudge him in the slightest.
No.
And he's been good. I mean, even though last season was probably his worst since returning to the club, he was still a very important part of the team. So, I mean, he was good, and I think he'll probably dominate in Qatar because, you know, it's Qatar. But, it's very sad to see him go, but, you know, it may be end up for the best.
If you somehow missed it, Gabby is no longer Atletico Madrid's captain. He's no longer an Atletico Madrid player. He has moved to Qatar to play for Al Sadd, which is Xavi's team. Xavi is not the coach of that team. He was going to be, but he decided he wanted to keep playing instead. So Gabby and Xavi will be teammates. Xavi reportedly playing a big role in convincing Gabby to make the jump. The contract that tempted Atleti's captain was worth about 6 million euros a year. It's a nice payday. It's a nice payday. And Atletico had offered him a 2-year contract in recent weeks, but the offer was too good for Gabby to turn down. 417 appearances in red and white.
Yeah, over two spells. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I mean, he played with Diego Simeone and Herman Burgos, yeah. And then came back to be a player under them as coaches. It's an excellent story, and he's probably going to end up being, of course, in more recent times, the most successful captain the club's seen through this resurgent period under Diego Simeone. He's been one of the main catalysts, without a doubt.
I think he's probably the most successful captain in Atletico's history.
Probably so, yeah.
I mean, next
day, and it could have been even more, considering the two Champions League final defeats.
It should have been more, right. He won six trophies, won everything but the Champions League. La Liga, a Copa del Rey, a Supercopa, Europa League times two, and a UEFA Super Cup.
And it may get lost sort of in the annals of history, but that 2016 Champions League final, he was the best player on the pitch.
I'm still convinced
that, I mean, without a doubt, he showed up everyone on both teams. He was just the best player that day. He was incredible.
Yeah, Gabby and Savage were Atletico's two best players that day. He was also very good in 16-17, where he arguably was the team's best midfielder. But this past season, we talked about it quite a bit. He slowed down. He played fewer minutes, despite starting a bunch of games and still playing a bunch of games. He slowed down. He was a step slow. The team had kind of moved beyond him, and he tried to adjust. He became more of a passing ball, just a ball circulating midfielder rather than the tough tackling guy we had seen in the past. He tried to adjust. Atletico still won when he was on the pitch, and It makes that last goal he scored against Marseille just even more significant and even more heartbreaking. Romantic is the right word for it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I kind of, in a way, I sort of wish we knew he was going to leave at that point, because then, I mean, I would have absolutely lost it if he had scored in the Europa League final. We knew he was leaving, but yeah, no, that is amazing that in his last ever appearance he scores a goal, because he's not known for scoring. Is Gabby. He's good at a lot of things, and he was excellent, but scoring, not so much.
Only scored 8 goals in his second stint at Atletico.
Yeah, although the one that one against Real Madrid was pretty amazing in the title-winning season.
Oh, that was a banger.
That's one for the history books for sure.
That was a banger. Still.
Absolutely. From a million miles away as well.
Yeah. And it wasn't deflected either. It was just a straight bullet into the net past Diego Lopez.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is Diego Lopez, so that did help. But
he was decent for a goal. He was decent for a time.
Yes. He was okay. He was a guy.
He was better than Casillas. Oh, air horns. Man. Oh, okay.
He is still playing somehow. I don't know. Don't know how, but he is.
But what's your favorite Gabby moment? Is it that goal in the derby in 2014?
Probably. I mean, the thing about Gabby is he's one of those players that can kind of go unnoticed,
right?
When you're watching a match. So yeah, that's probably the most prominent moment for me.
I think definitely the most prominent individual moment, because Gabby was always one for the collective.
Absolutely.
Gabby's best moments came in the context of the team, not himself. Which is why we love Gabby.
Right, and there's plenty of moments that he was involved in that you don't associate with him. Like the title win at Camp Nou, I mean, you can associate with that with Gabby, but, you know, he's not the person you remember. You remember Diego Godin.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's plenty. I mean, I think that performance in the Champions League final, even though it was heartbreaking, I think is one that'll stick out for me.
For me, That Derby goal is up there. I mean, remember, he assisted Godin's goal at Camp Nou. He was the one who took the corner.
This is true. Yeah. And he didn't take too many corners after that.
No, he didn't. Koke took them all. And Koke's been taking them all since then. And there was also the moment, remember when he got sent off in the tunnel in that Copa del Rey quarterfinal against Barca?
Yeah, that was...
that was a great moment.
That was classic.
That was classic. That was the same day Christian Ansaldi got arrested too.
Oh god.
That was...
Oh man, we're really throwing it back with this one.
And on top of that, Atletico lost the game 3-2 and the tie 4-2. That was just a great day.
Oh man. Well, there have been some very good red cards in Atletico's history. That may not be the most memorable, but
sent off in the tunnel. I think my favorite moment, that's not my favorite moment, but assisting Godin's goal to win the title, that's got to be it for me. Although that Derby goal, oof, still.
Hard to look past that one.
It's still amazing, but Gabby's gone. We'll miss you, Gabby.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. And I'm sure all the players will miss him. You could tell that clearly from the press conference that they held when he announced he was leaving.
Very emotional. Koke told him to get ready because he's going to be the next manager.
Which that would not shock me in the slightest.
Would not put it past him. No.
No.
Would not put it past him. Juan Fran said he was irreplaceable. Saul was there and sent some very nice words that I can't remember off the top of my head. And Antonio Lopez, the man he replaced as captain, was there. So it was a very nice ceremony, very emotional, and yeah, it's sad that he never got to lift the European Cup, despite having two chances to do so. That's the only really sad thing and bittersweet thing about this, is that as successful as Gabby was as Atleti's captain, he never got to win the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, he definitely should have at least one of those, but still, an incredibly successful period that he was absolutely one of the driving forces for, if not the driving force. Man, he won a lot for Atletico, and it's none of that really would have been possible without him.
He was Simeone on the pitch.
Yes, and well, midfielders that wore the number 14 for Atletico tend to be good coaches, so we'd like to see him back at the club one day.
Indeed. So, as for who's the next captain, it's going to be Diego Godin.
Yes.
Godin's been the vice captain since 2014-15. He will be named the next captain when he comes back from the World Cup. Koke is going to be right behind him, and it's probably going to be Saul who is named third captain.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today, actually. I guess it'll either be Saul. I did have a cheeky thought of it might be Diego Costa.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, that was my other option. It's going to be one of those two, I'd imagine.
Or it could be Juan Fran.
Could be, I guess.
He's been around long enough.
He has. He's been around longer, for sure. Maybe Felipe Luis as well. He maybe is a shout. But yeah, one of those three, or four, I should say, probably, are in the running. I guess we'll find out later.
We did get a couple questions on who's actually going to replace Gabby on the pitch, not just as captain. From Nick Taylor at NickT1987. Do Atleti bring in another midfielder to replace Gabby, or is the Rodri signing seen as enough? The latter. The Rodri was brought in as Gabby's replacement.
Well, not only that, Tomas is already there, and right. I think those two can certainly make up for his minutes that he took up last year, I think. So those two, I think, should provide enough cover in terms of midfield, because there was a bit of a logjam at times last year, and you add in Rodri, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, Rodri, his presence in and of itself, I think, is a big reason why Gabby said, you know what, yeah, this is the time to leave. Who knows if I'll get this offer again. This just makes it more likely Rodri starts the season as a starter. This just makes that more likely.
Yes, I agree. I think Tomas may be preferred at times just because Simeone knows him and trusts him, but I think absolutely at some point Rodri will become a starter. It all depends. I mean, a lot of things are up in the air because this squad is changing quite a lot now.
Yeah. Yes, changes are afoot. There have been lots of rumors swirling. Do you want to talk about those now, or do you want to talk about the World Cup first?
Maybe let's do just a quick World Cup roundup, because there have been some things we could chat about.
Okay, Spain suck.
They do. Sorry, Koke, we were rooting for you. Don't feel too bad, baby.
I'm assuming you saw the video of Costa and Hierro and Koke. Yeah. What did you think of it?
It's not great. I mean, you have to assume Costa didn't think that he would be filmed and subtitles put under it but you have to know Spain media will do that because that's just what they do. So, not great, but I don't think it's that big of a deal, really. I think they'll figure it out. I think Costa's that kind of a guy.
Costa and Koke have been teammates for a long time. Like, they've known each other for years, both on their domestic team, their club team, and for their country. They've been teammates for a while, and this is kind of who Costa is, ultra-competitive, ultra-feisty. Yes. Koke is a bit more reserved. And just watching that video, you could see from Koke's body language that he was really amped up, like, too amped up. Like, Ramos is asking him, do you want to take the penalty? He's like, yeah, sure, sure. I'm like, yeah, he was not calm, he was not cool. And it wasn't a good penalty. I mean, Akinfev saved it kind of easily.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. And, I mean, I can also understand Costa being frustrated because it was stupid for him to be brought off. I mean, clearly, obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but that was just a terrible decision. I thought it in the moment, and I definitely thought it once the penalty shootout happened. But at least he wasn't the only one that missed.
True, yeah.
I'll take that. I'm sure that's no consolation for him, but still.
And also, David De Gea was just a complete tragedy this entire tournament.
God, I mean, as if anyone needed any more proof that Oblak is the best keeper in Europe. Yeah. We've been knew this.
We've been saying this.
It's been clear.
Your favorite goalkeeper would never make one save absolutely in a World Cup.
I mean, really, if Oblak had some real teammates around him other than Marek Hamsik, he would have made many more saves than this.
Hey, don't be slandering Kevin Campbell.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We were linked to him for 20 million years. We'll be, like, linked to him in January and next summer and the summer after that. Yeah.
It bears repeating just how miserable he was. I mean, his defense wasn't much better. I mean, Pique was, I don't know where his head was. This entire Ramos was their best defender.
Should have played Nacho Monreal. Would have fixed all the problems.
Yeah. Your Arsenal bias is showing.
I'm just telling you the truth. You may not want to hear it.
Okay, Skip Bayless. Okay.
That's what I am for this podcast.
Let's calm down over there.
Pique was terrible, but that may come from him getting Lopetegui fired.
It had to be him
for spilling it to the squad.
Yeah, but even then, it makes the decision to sack Lopetegui as much as I understood that decision, it just makes it look even worse.
It was stupid.
Yeah, some people said it at the time. A lot of people were like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. They played a really entertaining draw against Portugal. Okay, that's great. That's the best team, the second best team in the group. That's fine. They were really poor against Iran, really poor against Morocco, and really poor against Russia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whatever you think about Russia, I mean, certainly they were fortunate to get to penalties. You can draw your own conclusions of how they did that, but
I'm not even sure they were fortunate. I mean, Spain were just passing the ball around in midfield.
I mean, they did their thing with, like, passing around, but they clearly had no ideas of what to do. Almost like Hierro is a really terrible manager.
Jeez, what gave,
I don't think there's much of a question about that.
What gave you that idea when he started Lucas Vazquez against Iran?
No, oh, God, help us. Lucas Vazquez, so bad. Why do people think he's good? Just because he has a few good games for Real
Madrid. He's decent. He gets fouled a lot. He draws a lot of fouls. Like, that is a skill, that a acquirable skill, and a developable, that's not a word, but it's a skill you can develop. But even then, he's not a national team starter. Like, not for Spain, not for a country this loaded.
Saul did not play.
No, and that was absurd. That was outrageous. And that is where you have a legit gripe with Hierro, is that Saul didn't see a single minute in Spain's four games.
That was bollocks. That was absolutely terrible.
And Spain were desperately searching for answers, especially at the end of the group stage. They were desperately looking for answers. And, oh no, let's start Thiago next to Sergio Busquets.
Oh, God. Watch, I mean...
I know, let's start Lucas Vazquez against Iran. Like, come on.
You just want to keep passing it around for 20 million years, whereas you could have Saul who could bang it in from a million miles away, or at least try. He may not have scored, but at least he would have shot.
I know. Let's start David Silva for four games, even though he hasn't done anything of note. I know. Let's keep playing Andres Iniesta for 90 minutes. He just goes on and on.
Oh, Andres Iniesta, man. I mean, I know he assisted a goal and looked
Iniesta was fine, but what made Lopetegui so novel and so fresh is that he turned to the youth. He brought in, he ushered in a new era. Hierro just went right back to Del Bosque's tactics.
Absolutely. He totally shit the bed. It was not good.
He lost with the same core that got trounced at the World Cup in Brazil and the same core that got just demolished by Italy at the Euros.
And, I mean, there are just players he didn't use that would have been useful. And I know I'm kind of joking in a way about Nacho Monreal, but he would have actually been useful, as would have Saul. But these players just didn't get used. Like, at least try them. I know that there aren't the players you called up, but try. I mean, for the love of God, it's clear that you needed something different.
Yeah. And he never went to the Costa-Aspas combo that did so well during the friendlies.
Mm.
And, of course, now you're getting the reports that, you know, the Spain squad were not too happy that Costa kept starting and all that good stuff.
Even though he was putting the team on his back?
Yeah,
I don't understand that, really.
It all comes out in the wash. Diego Torres from El Pais said that Busquets, Silva, and Iniesta didn't want Costa in the 11. He wasn't a pure Spanish striker. And, like, it's these ideas. Like, you can still win with a false nine. It's these ideas that are poisoning the Spanish squad. And it's why whoever takes over next needs to just do away with this core. Like, thank you. You're the golden generation. It's time to move on.
Yeah, feels like England a few years ago.
Yeah, there are some very, very surreal reminders. A hearkening back, if you will, to what has gone on in the English squad before this rebirth. And Spain need it now. They needed it at the World Cup 4 years ago. They needed it at the Euros 2 years ago, and they need it now.
But almost certainly in 4 years, the ghost of Sergio Ramos will be still starting somehow.
Yeah, but they have no competition. Like, who is the next great Spanish center back?
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
Piqué and Ramos have no competition. I mean, who is it going to be? And Íñigo isn't that young anymore.
No. Jesus Vallejo, maybe? No.
He's a kid, though. He's not ready for that yet. I mean, Íñigo's 27 now, and he's... How many call-ups does he even have for Spain? Like, four. Four call-ups for Spain. Didn't make the World Cup squad.
Doesn't look so good.
No. So, and Piqué's retiring now, too.
Good. He was absolutely terrible. I mean, he got his 100 caps. Time to check out Piqué.
Very, very poor at this tournament. I don't want to say good riddance because, again, he was part of that golden generation for La Fiore Roja. But, again, it's time for a rebirth and a reboot. And I think it has to center around that Atletico trio, Koke, Rodri, and Saul. It's going to center on them.
That's the midfield you should go with.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're still calling up David Silva and Thiago in a few years' time, it ain't going to be going so well for you.
Yeah, Silva's done. Like, it's clear after this World Cup, he can't be counted on the way he has been counted on. Iniesta's already gone. Busquets didn't look too good at the World Cup. I mean, Busquets is only... Is he even 30? I think he's 29. And Busquets is still, theoretically, in his prime. But...
Yeah, I mean, he's had some kind of rocky seasons these last 2 years. And he's played a lot of minutes through his career. So he may be having an early shower, as it were.
You have to just move on from this, though. You can't win in the old way anymore. And what Lopetegui did, and why his dismissal was so devastating, was that he did give this squad energy. There was a rebirth going on here, tactically and in terms of personnel.
I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, I understand why they fired him, but it just did not work out.
Yeah, probably should have waited until after the tournament, but hindsight is 2020. Uh-huh. Hindsight is very much 2020.
Well, and he should have shown some better judgment in that situation anyway.
Yes. Thank you, Florentino Perez. Meanwhile, Uruguay and France play tomorrow. That's going to be fun.
Woo!
Yeah, y'all better watch this. I'm going to have to get up at 7 a.m. to watch it, but I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to be at work. I'm going to be real sad.
But
I will watch it later.
Godin versus Griezmann. Jimenez versus Lucas. Thomas Lamar may play a role.
He hasn't so far, which has been unfortunate.
5 of the 7 Atleti players left in the World Cup are in this game. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and both teams have been very fun to watch. France, although they did have that absolutely abysmal draw with Denmark, that Argentina game was absolutely fantastic and totally made up for it.
Yeah, because France decided to attack for once.
Yes, exactly. And Mbappe is, incredible.
Almost like they have more attacking talent than anyone in the field. It's just like that.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Even though they are still starting Olivier Giroud up front. Bless him. Bless him. But he can't run. Uruguay have also been a lot of fun as well. They're my sort of team. They're kind of more in the Atletico mold.
Very much so.
Yeah. Which you can kind of understand with Jose Ma and Godin at the back.
And I think if Uruguay win this game and knock out France without Cavani, I think they can go on to win the World Cup.
Agreed.
I think Uruguay, they are the real deal. The way they soaked up the pressure against Portugal was very impressive and forced Portugal into playing a style that suited them was very impressive.
Well, in a local... alcohol establishment competition, I did pick Uruguay to win prior to the knockout competition, so I will be rooting for them. Though I do like you now, Griezmann, more than ever, and of course I've always loved Lucas, so best of luck to both of you.
It's going to be phenomenal, and there's guaranteed to be at least some Atletico presence in the semifinals of the World Cup, so
very much
that's going to be very exciting in Nizhny Novgorod. Elsewhere, Croatia are going to play Russia. And Brazil are going to play...
Belgium.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brazil.
That should be a good one. I'm looking forward to Belgium-Brazil. That should be interesting.
Yeah,
two kind of contrasting styles. One very terrible coach versus one okay coach.
I think there's going to be a lot of goals there. Like, that could be like a 4-3 game. There are going to be a lot of goals there. Elsewhere,
not a lot of defending, perhaps.
Yeah, Philippe, speaking of defending, looks like Marcelo is going to be healthy. He will reclaim his spot in the starting 11 after Felipe filled in very capably the last two games.
Yes, indeed, he did. And I was glad that he got some minutes, and he looked quite good, I thought.
And Šime Vrsaljko is going to start for Croatia against the hosts, who have just eliminated Spain, so they are full of momentum.
Yes, come on, the Croatias.
And
we don't...
Possibly.
Don't want to see Russia win.
And possibly other substances. But that's just speculation.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Just, if you haven't been following Twitter, just have a look at the distances covered and you draw your own conclusions. We're not suggesting anything on this podcast.
All I'm going to say is the speculation is rampant. That's all I will say.
The speculation is rampant, and there is some data to support it.
thinking face emoji.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
An interesting question from Luke at Atleti Havo. Who would you like to see in an Atleti shirt, unrealistic or realistic? It's a great question.
It's a good one.
You want to go first?
I'll let you go. I got to think about it.
Of course you will. unrealistic.
Should we break it up into two, into a realistic and an unrealistic, or just no matter what?
Just no matter what.
Okay.
So unrealistic, I have Isco or Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, it's hard to look past Mbappe. But for the sake of difference, and I know that more than likely he's going to go to the other team that I support, but I think a lot of people saw that Lucas Torreira is kind of a player that would fit well into the Atletico system. I know the midfield is loaded for Atletico, but the sort of Uruguayan pit bull midfielder is quite attractive, I'd imagine.
Yes.
Also Danny Ceballos as well.
I wanted Ceballos last summer.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Though I do feel like Real Madrid do kind of owe us one since we sold them Theo Hernandez, that guy. So
who?
You know, yeah, that, you know, that one guy who, you know, he's going to be on the bench next year.
Never heard of him.
I'd like to have Danny Ceballos. I think he could still do a job.
He got the European Cup tattooed on his shin like he actually played a role in the game. Did you see that?
Yes, I did see that.
Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
Yeah, he's a character. He's a character. You only have to look at some of his outfits to sort of determine how good of a decision maker he is.
My realistic choices, well, one of them came in this summer, Rodri.
Yeah, of course. Rodri is excellent.
The other one probably would have been Cavani.
I think Cavani was realistic if Griezmann had gone, probably.
Yeah, he's not realistic anymore, but he was at one point. And Cavani has just always kind of been a misplaced Colchonero.
This is true. And he's kind of stayed at PSG too long. I mean, he's always been the second guy there, first under Ibra, and then now Neymar and Mbappe.
He's arguably third wheel now.
Yeah, it's gotten even worse somehow.
But he's always been, like, you talk about Uruguayan intensity. The Uruguayan kind of way of playing, just in terms of his attitude alone, his spirit alone, he'd be a perfect Atletico player.
Yeah, I agree. I think he would have been excellent. I don't think it'll happen now, but I would have liked to have seen him for Atletico maybe a few years ago at this point. But
yeah, there are times where I've kind of vacillated on him, but yeah, right now he is... He definitely world class, still in his prime at 31. Who knows? Maybe he does make his way to Madrid at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly not the most, quote unquote clutch player in the whole universe. I mean, there are plenty of examples of him blowing it, but he's certainly not Gonzalo Higuain either.
I think he's rebuilt his reputation from that standpoint. I think he's definitely
absolutely
gone away toward rebuilding it. Let's stick with transfers. Realistic transfers for now. We have a question from David at D_Gin24. Thoughts on the potential move for Nikola Kalinic?
Bit of a weird one.
Just a bit.
I didn't expect this link to happen. I mean, he's old and also not great. But, in a backup striker role, I can kind of get it, I guess. I mean, Milan need to make money, period, to the end.
Right, because they have been unceremoniously dumped from European competition.
Yeah, which we all sort of expected because their owner doesn't actually have any real money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like Monopoly money. So, you know, I think he's okay.
He wasn't very good last season.
No, he was not.
Scored only 6 goals in 31 games in Serie A. Really not very good after 2 good seasons at Fiorentina. Let's actually set the stage here for why we're talking about Kalinic. Reports from Italy, I wrote up a piece on it today, reports from Italy indicating that Atletico have an agreement with Kalinic, a financial agreement with him, not Milan yet, but with him. He has given the thumbs up to joining Atletico this summer, but it is a little more complicated than that. Atletico have to sell Kevin Gamero first, and Milan have to bring in Simone Zaza from Valencia first. So these three teams, Valencia, Atletico, and Milan, and these three strikers, Gamero, Kalinic, and Zaza, are all kind of linked. A couple dominoes have to fall before Kalinic is able to join Atletico.
Three not great strikers, all in different clubs.
Right. Right.
All kind of past their prime, except for Zaza, I guess.
Yeah, and also, Kalinic was kicked off the Croatian national team during the
week. Yes, for pretending like he had a back injury, allegedly. Right.
That's kind of a red flag. But in terms of the profile, he's kind of what Atletico want, a big, lanky target man. That's the guy Atletico have been searching for, and that's the guy he is. I mean, granted, he was not good at Milan this past season. That's, objectively, he was not good. But he was solid at Fiorentina the 2 years before that, 27 league goals over 69 appearances. Helped guide Dnipro to the Europa League final 3 years ago, that thrilling run they went on before they lost to Sevilla in that game. He's over 40 international appearances, 15 goals. He's a fine forward. If you're counting on him to be your starter, then you forget about it. But as a backup, especially on the deal that's being talked about, it's a loan.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. As a cheap option, as a backup striker, I don't really mind it at all. I mean, obviously, as you say, that thrilling run is when we first learned about him when he went when he was with Dnipro and he scored in the Europa League final, in which Kevin Gamero came off the bench, which is sort of his role at this stage.
He did.
But and also, I would just like to point out, Dnipro are now in the third division.
Are they really
of Ukraine because they have no money?
Wow, that talk about life comes at you fast.
Yeah, rip Dnipro.
Mike,
I like your badge.
They're really in the third division. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it went bad for them. Actually, their Wikipedia page says their league is TBA because they have so little money.
Oh, God. Oh, they've been hit with a TBA on Wikipedia. Oh, they're done for. Rest in peace, Dnipro.
Yeah. I looked them up the other day just because I remember that Europa League final. It was a good final. But, no, yeah, I agree with you. I think as a backup striker, I think he is kind of ideal. I think he'd probably be better than Jackson Martinez because he actually has some degree of pedigree in a major European league that is in Portugal.
Yeah,
as we know, Portugal players don't play well in Spain.
Yeah, at any rate, he's 30 years old. He kind of fits the profile what they were looking for. Atletico were also linked with Stuani and Jamie Vardy, of course. I would have loved to see Vardy at Atletico. It's just not for the if not for just the culture shock that he would have undergone.
It would have just been hilarious.
Jamie Vardy having a fiesta.
Yeah, I just think that Kalinic certainly is the cheaper option. I think Vardy would have been expensive even despite his age.
Yeah, what's being talked about for Kalinic is a loan with an obligation to buy that's based on appearances. So if Simeone hates him, he won't play him, and he'll go back to Milan next summer. If Simeone likes him, he will play him, which will more likely than not mean Kalinic is providing some value to the team, and Atletico will buy him next summer.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I mean, he certainly probably has something still to give. I mean, he's only 30. And as a target man, those guys tend to age a little bit more gracefully.
Yeah.
But we will see. He was not good at Milan, so maybe he has something to prove next season. That'd be nice.
Though it's not the worst thing they could have done. I think there were arguably better options out there, but it's an initial loan. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I let you don't have to buy him.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of finesse him and dump him in the under 21s or something so he doesn't hit the appearance.
Now, the other guy who's been very prominent in the last couple days is a guy you and I like very much, Rob.
Oh, yes.
At YPorto13 asks, how much do you think Yeltsin can help the team if he really comes? A lot. This guy's a live wire, and he's available for free.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of expectation that teams are offering money to Sporting to say, like, hey, please don't sue us in the future. Yeah. But, I mean, he would certainly be cheaper than he would have been on an open market, not considering all their drama. I think it would be very worrying for one Mr. Vitolo, but Yeah, he would certainly be an excellent addition to the team.
I just think a Gelson, Lamar, Vitolo trio is infinitely better than a Carrasco, Correa, Gaitan trio.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think that's much more varied. I think it's a harder working trio. I think it's a more creative trio.
Much younger,
much
overall.
Younger. I mean, Gelson's 23, Lamar's 22, Vitolo's 28.
And, I mean, really, as compared to some of the guys they've had in the past, it's like, oh, God. But yeah. I think these, I mean, Gelson and Lamar have quite high ceilings. Vitolo has a certain ceiling that we sort of know he can get to potentially. So I think those three really are all quite solid players. Obviously, there's a bit of a fear about players coming from the Portuguese league, but I think Gelson is young enough to the point where he could still improve.
Yeah, and Gelson has Champions League experience, played there this past year with Sporting, gave Atletico some problems in the Europa League quarterfinal tie, and he was very good in the Portuguese league, which has been a red flag in the past. Jackson Martinez. But...
Yeah, Nico Graton.
Especially. But, no, this... And he's a full Portuguese international. This dude's good. And he's available for free. So there's not really much risk here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean... yeah, it's kind of a weird thing with this whole Sporting situation, because the sort of problematic president did end up resigning. So maybe he'll end up going back. It's hard to know really what's going on, because old what's his name, Rui Patricio, ended up signing for Wolves for free. But it's a crazy situation there for people that don't know a lot about that. But yeah, I think if he is really available on a free or for quite little money, then I think it's absolutely worth a punt.
You know who else I would have taken a flyer on is Bas Dost, who's also available for free from Sporting.
Well, you know I love Bastos.
I do.
I mean, I would have preferred him to Nico Kalinic, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sort of a better target man, really. I mean, he's like the ultra target man. He doesn't really move and just like scores headers and stuff.
Cost him the ball and he will score.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No. I mean, I think if the Nico Kalinic thing doesn't work out, maybe have a look at old Bastos, because he hasn't really been reported to have moved anywhere yet.
He hasn't picked up by anybody.
So, I think he's absolutely worth a go. I mean, he scored 27 goals in Portugal. I mean, it is Portugal, granted, but he's got goals in his past. I mean, he scored a bunch of goals with Wolfsburg that one season and was quite good. So.
Guillermo Pereira at G_RPY asks, with Lamar already on board and possibly Gelson, do you think Atletico have finally put together a perfectly balanced squad from defense to attack?
I mean, other than like a fullback or two,
it's close, isn't it?
It's damn close.
I think they could still use fullback insurance. It looks like they're gonna have Lucas as the backup left back again next year, which I do not like.
Mm-mm.
And I think they could use another central midfielder. But even then, Koke, Rodri, Sal, and Tomas is going to be incredibly competitive. Those guys are going to bring the best out of each other.
Yeah, I can live spots. With that. I'm more worried about fullback, really, because it tends to be likely that one of Rusalko or Felipe will get hurt at some stage, and then we'll be sort of fumbling around. But
other than that, I think
we're damn close.
I think it's a very good squad. It's a deep squad. It's going to have 20 or 21 players in it by the end of the summer. It is pretty balanced. You got four forwards who are all going to be pretty capable. Costa, Griezmann, Correa, probably Kalinic, all guys with pedigree, with experience. You have four deep in central midfield. That's kind of why I wish Gabby would have stayed, because it would have been an excellent central midfield if Gabby had stayed. Even then, it's still super when you have those four guys in particular. Central defense is going to be Godin and Jimenez, with Savage or whoever replaces Savage backing them up. And, you know, Felipe is still good. Jaime Rusalko is good, despite some questions. And Oblak and goal. It's a pretty good squad.
Yep, and throw in a handful of youth team players that may or may not make the breakthrough. And it's a pretty much perfectly balanced squad. I agree with the question. I think it's as close as you can really get.
Yeah. I would prefer maybe another fullback.
And of course, Atletico did bring in another defender. I don't know if he's a fullback or not.
Nahuen Perez. He's going to stay on loan at the Argentinos Juniors this year. And he's only 18.
Oh, okay.
He's only 18.
He is a child. But you know, we will see about a fullback. I think that there is still potential there.
We shall see. At L underscore Nino 0404. Let's guess what he's going to ask about. Where the expletive will Torres go? We don't know.
MLS question mark?
Well, there had been a lot of links with Sagan Tosu in Japan. Last I read, there were some difficulties agreeing personal terms, so Torres is still without a club.
Well, maybe Gabby could bring him to old El Sad.
Maybe. It might just get the get the bag and cutter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, might as well. You get the most money.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he could go play with his old friend Yannick for Carrasco in China.
Yeah, who really knows where Torres is going to go? If he can't, if he's not going to Japan. Doesn't seem like an MLS move is particularly close with Chicago Fire. It's been the only team that's really been linked with him. And Chicago's not that good.
No, they're not good. And, of course, DC, of course, signed their ringer and won young Wayne Rooney. So, who knows? Who knows might be interested in an aging Fernando Torres. Someone will. Someone will pick him up, I guess.
Eventually, I mean, but for now, he's still an unattached player.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, if it gets to the start of the season and he still doesn't have a club, will he stick around or will he retire or what? I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation at the moment.
I gotta think he'll find a club at some point. But
for surely. Now, I mean, it might be somewhere undesirable, but even still.
Yeah. At Ethan from online, would you rather Oblak's release clause be met and get Courtois cheaply or free in 2019 and have the money from Oblak's sale, or would you rather Oblak stay even if it hurts the budget in the future? Really good question.
Really good. Really good. Mm. I saw this one and I've been thinking about it for a while and I'm not totally sure I know what I really truly feel.
What do you think?
It's tough. I mean, there'd have to be some kind of guarantee that Courtois would join. I mean, man, it's a difficult decision. I love Oblak. He's younger. I think he's probably better. But they're both damn good.
Let's assume, for the sake of the argument, that Courtois does not agree a new contract at Chelsea, and he is available for free next summer. Let's assume that. You pick up an elite goalkeeper for free?
It's hard to turn down.
Yeah, especially one who's played for Atletico in the past and was great for Atletico.
Yeah, who was the keeper when they won the title? Not bad.
Yeah, all things being equal, and assuming. It's tough.
It's really hard because we love Oblak and he's damn good. And he may be the best goalkeeper in Europe, but.
And that's why I.
Courtois on a free?
That's why I think I would say keep Oblak, because you already have Oblak and I think he's better than Courtois. And the budget pressures can be relieved in another manner. I don't know. It's tough, but I would say keep Oblak.
The thing is, like, what goalkeeper is more valuable than Oblak as well?
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, maybe David De Gea, maybe, but after this World Cup, and I don't know.
Neuer.
It's hard to say.
Neuer showed his age. Buffon's showed his age.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Buffon's going to go to PSG. All reports seem to indicate, and
Ter Stegen?
That was probably Oblak's main destination. Oh, Ter Stegen. I mean, I don't really think he's on the same level as Oblak, personally.
He's great. He's great, but I don't think he's better than Oblak.
No, I wouldn't say so. Well, just to be different, I'd say take Courtois on a free.
And you know what? They're both great options. That's why this is such a great question. I would lean towards keeping Oblak because you can sell elsewhere in the squad to keep a goalkeeper of this quality. Then again, Courtois for free, sacrificing a year to make sure you get Courtois for free for like the next 10 years, that is enticing.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, like, Oblak is more than likely going to want to leave at some stage.
Let's hope
so. Yeah, well, of course, we have to hope not, but it seems like that may end up happening, but Courtois wants to stay in Madrid because his family's here, whatever, whatever.
Right.
So, man, it's an excellent question. I still don't know what I think. I love them both. I'd like to have them both, but that won't ever happen. They're both good. I think Oblak's better, but 100 million is 100 million.
I lean Oblak, but I could just as easily be convinced the other way, but I lean Oblak. Speaking of goalkeeping, it looks as if Atletico have their backup for next year. It's going to be Antonio Adan, which I'm excited about because I think he's a very good goalkeeper.
You love that man.
Yeah, Adan is a really good goalkeeper. Yeah, I know he has a Real Madrid past. I know, but he's a very good goalkeeper. For 1 million euros, that's a steal.
It is. And I would say, personally, I think he's better than Moya.
Yes, that's an upgrade over Moya.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's really good. And yeah, it seems like it's only a matter of days before his signing is confirmed. It looks like it's all done. He's agreed a contract. I think it's 2 or 3 years. And it's 1 million euros plus variables to Betis. Like, yes, sign me up.
I really can't imagine a more ideal backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, just last year he backstopped a team that got to, you know, the Europa League, that qualified for a Europa League place. He's still really good, and he's going to be a backup for this team.
And I think the most clear indication that this deal's happening is that they signed Joel Robles today. Joel Robles might have been an option for Atletico, but I would have preferred Adan, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah, the Real Madrid past is always a red flag, but you know, you're always concerned with the quality, and Adan is quality.
He is, and he didn't play very many games for them, so we can forget that a little bit.
We do have a question about Real Madrid, though. It's our last one.
Mm-hmm.
From at Alex Arant. How will Cristiano Ronaldo leaving Real Madrid affect the Madrid derby? Well, first of all, he's not leaving. I mean, look, I will not believe Cristiano Ronaldo is leaving La Liga until he is in Turin holding up a Juventus shirt. I won't believe it. No, that man will have to be dragged screaming out of Spain.
That being said,
this is a guy
who has scored a lot of goals against that one.
This is a guy who once said, in the third person, Ronaldo is sad. He got a renewed contract weeks later. Never forget that. Ronaldo is sad, gets new contract. Never forget that.
I looked it up after I saw this question, and I went to the transfer market page and had a look, and many. Ooh, it's a lot more than I thought it was.
The exact number is many.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's a lot. If it depends what competitions you include, but it's a lot.
I know what the reporting says. I've been reading it. I've been keeping up with it. I'm not buying it. Until that man is holding up another team shirt, I'm not buying it. You can tell me all you want that Real Madrid are planning for the future. They're planning a farewell soiree for him. You can tell me all you want. He's staying until he's no longer there.
And I agree.
We have been down this road too many times. He has said things and intimated things too many times and then gotten what he's wanted in the end for me to just jump fully on board with this, as badly as I want to.
I agree.
But let's assume he is leaving, and let's assume he does go to Juventus, just to answer Alex's question. How will it affect the Madrid derby? It will definitely impact it. This is a guy who is one of the two biggest superstars, not only in Spain, but in the world. The derby will have a different feel if he is not in it. That's just the way it goes. He is a big enough personality and a big enough talent, even at his age, that he has had an indelible impact on Real Madrid's history and the history of this fixture. That there is no question there will be an impact here.
And I mean, it's a different sort of presence. I mean, he's one of the two players that has sort of defined this generation of football. And without him in the derby, Real Madrid become a lot less scary, sort of naturally. Even though they still have very good players, it's kind of different when Ronaldo's in the team. It's just kind of that feeling of dread that he will score, so you have to score enough to offset the amount that he will score.
It's not only that he'll score, it's that he'll score a hat trick, which he did in the derby in November of 2016 at the Calderon.
It was terrible.
That was a terrifying day.
Oh, God, that was the worst. I wrote some kind of thing for the side off after that game. Man, that was terrible.
And it was, like, not even 6 months after the Champions League final loss. So, yeah, I was haunted.
Mm,
and then he went and scored another hat trick in the Champions League semifinal the next year.
Yes, he did.
So I will be happy if this man leaves Real Madrid. I will be so happy.
He was the worst. He is the worst. I'd love to see him gone. I don't think he'll leave.
I mean, I'm not buying it until he's holding up another shirt. But that being said, Madrid will have to buy someone if he leaves. They will have to buy someone of his caliber, of his stardom.
Harry Kane, please.
Football has to come home first before that happens.
That's fine. That is totally fine.
Just so you buy Harry Kane. You would be okay with Harry Kane lifting the World Cup if he then leaves Spurs?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Because then they won't be able to brag about it for much longer than that.
They can still brag about it. Still brag about it, though.
Yeah, that's fine. They can do that all they want.
Okay.
You still never won anything for them.
Again, it is amazing how your blinding love of Arsenal impacts your sensibilities to other things. It's just amazing.
Well, but you see, if he then goes to Real Madrid, I can then teach you the ways of hating Harry Kane. Okay. It's very, very, very deep.
The Harry Kane whisperer.
Yeah, I don't want to be known as that.
At any rate, Real Madrid will have to buy a Neymar type, or Neymar himself, to offset this, and I don't think Neymar is the best replacement for Cristiano.
I mean, I think PSG have too big of an ego to sell him to them.
Yeah, and if they sell Cristiano, they don't have a pure striker. I mean, you have Benzema, but Benzema plays so well off Cristiano.
Benzema, and he wasn't good last season, and is old.
Yeah, he wasn't good. He still scored in the semifinal and the final of the Champions League.
Exactly.
God, it was infuriating. The whole season, he was subpar, and then he scores in their two biggest games of the season. Because of course he does. Of course he does.
That's just what he does.
That's just how it goes for them.
And Ronaldo has been best deployed as a center forward in more recent years as he's gotten older. So, we'll see. You know, I don't think that they could really pry away Mbappe or Neymar.
No. Neymar they could. I think Neymar would be willing to go. He wanted to go to Madrid from Barcelona, but there was no way Barca would sell him to Madrid. The board
could probably end up forcing it.
The board would have had to resign right away. There was no way Barca could deal with the fallout from selling Neymar to Real Madrid. So he had to go to PSG first. I could totally see Neymar ending up there this summer. I could see it. Mbappe is a bit harder because I think he's legit happy at PSG. I think he's, like, legitimately happy there. And he will be the guy if Neymar leaves.
I mean, personally, I don't know if this is hot or not, but I would absolutely rather have Mbappe than Neymar.
I would, too. I mean, Mbappe can be the best player in the world. Neymar is great, but he's top 3 to 5 players in the world now. But how much better can Neymar get?
That's right. I think we've seen the best of him.
Not saying that that's bad.
And that was when he was kind of humbled in the Barcelona team.
Yeah, and not saying that's a bad thing that this is the best Neymar's going to get, because Neymar's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
But Mbappe, there's more to Mbappe's game. Like, it's scary how good Mbappe can still get.
He's 19!
It's wild.
I mean, and he's this good? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's 19, and he just destroyed the country of Argentina.
Absolutely. So. And he's been so good in the Champions League and Liga in, like, last 2 years. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't believe Ronaldo's going to leave.
But if he does leave, that's a huge – it's a seismic shift in how Madrid are going to operate. It's going to be very different without him there.
Especially if with a new manager, I think they're going to be in a – they're in a weird spot. I mean, they're getting towards the time, even though they've won 3 consecutive European Cups in 4 and 5 years or whatever it is. They're getting towards a period where they may need to have a little bit of a reload.
Yeah, I mean, they just signed Odriozola today, but mm-hmm. You know, he's just going to be Carvajal's backup.
Right, just like they signed Teo to be Marcelo's backup.
Mm-hmm.
And Dani Ceballos to be Modric's backup. And I mean, it's like you sign these guys, but you're not phasing them in, so then they want to leave, so really, what's the point?
Yeah, they brought back Llorente and signed Ceballos to sit on the bench, mostly.
Exactly. So good job, guys. Good job.
Good work.
You got to commit to the rebuild.
Way to go. What else we got here? I think that's everything I've got. We've been going for an hour now.
Holy bejeebus.
So I think it's about time we wrap this up, Mr. Walker.
Very good.
That's my guest, Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to Culture Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave us a rating and a review. Helps us get more eyes and ears on the program. In addition, you can subscribe to the Patreon page, patreon.com/CultureNarrowChat. No bonus podcast this week, but we will be recording one on Monday, and we're going to do a deep dive, Rob, into Atletico's finances.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
it's murky waters.
It's going to be lit. So bonus pod not dropping this week, but we will have one Monday or Tuesday. Patreon.com/CultureNarrowChat. There's also a bunch of other goodies you can get there. I will be updating the rewards in the coming weeks. I know I've been saying that for a while, but I really will get to it. Believe me. Patreon.com/CultureNarrowChat. Become a CultureNarrowChat amigo. We'll catch you next week. Adios.